Hey, welcome to CJC Life Church. We follow the heart, we build for the King, we leave a path, eternity is the thing.
Well, so today I want to just transition to our message is called Illusion of Perfection. So this is a kind of an illusion that we all have in a different ways, and we struggle to understand it in so many things. So I'm going to talk about that few minutes. And before I do, I would like to invite Pastor Nick to talk about, you know, we started our community as a creative arts academy. I would love for you all to be part of this academy that God has called us to lead our church into different stages of growth. And I know kids are going back to school, but Saturdays you guys can dedicate 4 hours of developing your kids in the musical and social atmosphere. Is Pastor Nick here? Is he outside?
He's outside.
Can somebody grab him if you can? Or Sister Emily, do you want to come up here? Could you please grab a microphone for Sister Emily? Come on down, Sister Emily. Let's give a big round of applause for Pastor Nick and Sister Emily. So we started this not for our community only, for any community that's out there could learn. This couple are really called. Come on, guys. We want to just talk about Mariposa. And so far, what do you all feel, and how do you all feel about it? And then if you want to give more details, including if some couples may not going to able to afford the cost that we're charging to cover up, is there a scholarship that we're doing and that kind of thing? Go ahead. Who wants to go?
Welcome. Say hi, everybody. Hi. Pastor Nick here, my wife, Evelyn. And we had a great revival. Thank you, Pastor, for your support throughout everything. You guys are amazing. It's an awesome church family. We're so happy to be a part of this community and this body of Christ. We truly feel loved and supported, and we get a lot of Indian food, so it's like win-win, right? So we're doing this amazing thing. I've been a music teacher for many years, but my wife had a vision of a butterfly transformation and just flying, and she even got the colors and everything. And that's where the school, Mariposa, which means butterfly, that's where it came from. And it's a vision from the Lord, and it just happened. And here we are. I've had another school, but we transformed it. We rebranded. It's a new season. And how many of you guys know that God is doing a new thing here in the house? Amen?
Man.
You feel it?
Man.
And there's a momentum, and we're training up the next generation of worshipers here in the house of God. So that's what Mariposa is about. It's a creative arts academy. And we've already heard from a lot of people that want to sign up and have signed up. And we have a start date of the 22nd on Saturday. And it's going to be an amazing 6-week program. And there might be some people that we don't want to turn anybody away, maybe some that can't afford it. We're looking for people also that want to sponsor some of those kids and the cost of the school. So if you have in your heart to say, you know what, I want to sponsor, and I'm going to tell you a quick little story, and then I'm going to pass it to my wife, that my grandma was pivotal in supporting my parents as well, right? Don't get me wrong, but I had 3 brothers, and we ate a lot of tortillas in the house. So it was like, it was crazy. We had like 3 gallons of milk. It was a week, and a cereal box would last one day. The Kool-Aid would last one day, everything was just gone. So we know what it's like to have a lot of kids in the summer and they're eating you out of house and home. But my grandma would just get her pennies together, and she would just try and buy me. My parents would also just struggle to buy me whatever the instrument they could find. And I praise God for that, because if it wasn't for that encouragement that they gave me, I would not be here in the house serving God in the capacity that I'm doing. I would not be here 100%. So whatever you guys have, and you might feel like, hey, I'm that grandma, or I'm that grandpa, or I'm that mom, or that dad, or I can't, you know, I'm nothing. But I just ask the Lord, and we petition heaven, Lord, make a way. I want my kid to get into school, and it's an amazing school. couple hours every Saturday. We're going to have snacks. We're going to have fun. We're going to teach them musical instruments. My wife's going to talk a little bit about the dance program that we're going to be doing with flags and streamers and significance and all that. We teach them about worship. It's going to be amazing. Kids are getting into school, and it's important that we get them in some kind of program to get going. So if you're interested, please, there's a QR code right there. Come talk to me and my wife, and we'll definitely...
Hey, Pastor Nick, I know they're going to ask you questions about it, but I want to make sure that we communicate this. So when they check in 4 hours, what is the layout look like? What's going on?
So check in would be first thing they get here. As they settle in, we're going to set up our little areas, and then we're all going to sit down. We're going to have a little teaching on worship and God, and we're going to make sure the foundation is right.
Amen.
And then they're going to be respectful. We're going to listen. It's going to be almost like a classroom environment right here. I'm going to have a little whiteboard. We're going to be talking about some worship concepts. That worship's not just music, but it's a lifestyle. And then we're going to break out into the groups. The dance is going to go with the dance. And then I'm going to have different groups. It's going to be group lessons, pianos, guitars, drums, basses, vocals. And then we're also going to have literature, poetry, content creation, and media. So it's going to be all groups. Everybody's going to have their little spot. My wife's going to have the dance. She's going to be doing the dance program. And then we're going to go a little bit deeper, do practical time, practical instruction as I talk about music theory, worship leading. Then we're going to have a little break and then come back. And we're going to begin to try to form a group our goal is to have a recital. We're going to have a recital at the end of the 6 weeks. It's going to be a great concert. These kids are going to play. And I've seen kids that are very shy and then learn an instrument, and all of a sudden you can't, they're chatterboxes. You know what I'm saying? So they just come out, and that's the whole mariposa. They just fly. And this instrument can be, or this talent, or this dance, whatever, can be a way of them building confidence in life and for school and building community and having friends here. And it's a safe environment. I've worked with second graders, third graders in the inner city, and I know that sometimes the kids can get a little rough. But we know how to keep them in line. We know they need snacks. We're going to give them a little snack time. We're going to watch out. I have two little kids, too. So we're definitely versed in that dynamic. But we're going to make sure that they're learning, and they're learning about God. And they also, at their recital, it's going to be amazing. They're going to get a certificate. They're going to get a T-shirt. And they're going to have a certificate of completion of the first 6 weeks. And then they're going to do another 6 weeks, and then another six. And we're going to keep going on this thing, and as long as the Lord continues to work in the house and is training up new worshipers. How many of you know that we need to lift up a new generation of worshipers and teach them? And that doesn't mean it's just for kids. I have a lot of adults that are signed up too, and we're going to get them trained in. There's nothing more amazing when you come into a worship setting and you say, oh, the musician didn't show up. Okay, give me that guitar. Ooh, that's a flex. I'm do a couple chords, or give me that piano. We don't need nobody. I got it, you know. And for those of you that don't have any musical ability, and say, you learn 4 or 5 chords, boom, you got it. You know what I'm saying? Make a joyful noise. And so that's what we're training up. Maybe you have a home Bible study or home group or whatever, and you want to say, I want to get in that. Not just my kid, but I can get in that. We can get in that too. I'm going to give you all the sheets, all the chords, everything. You take it home, and then we're going to do some online teaching as well to supplement what we're doing. You want to talk a little bit about the dance?
Yes, okay. So we're very excited about the dance, because the goal with the dance is to have pretty much launch a praise dance team from this. So after this, with permission, I don't think we've talked about this part, so we'll see how you feel about it. have the worship dancers praising along with us in the worship experience on Sundays. So right out of this, we want to have the worshipers also dancing worshiping through tambourines, flags, streamers, and they'll learn the foundations. I mean, we can't learn everything in 6 weeks, but we'll learn the foundations so that they feel confident enough to be able to worship through dance and movement along with the singing and music on Sundays. And for me, I know I started young. I started dance. Somebody believed in me, and I wasn't able to join the worship team at 10 years old because I was too little. So we actually launched our worship dance team when I was 10 years old and almost 40. I'm 38, and the dance team that we launched 28 years ago is still going strong in our home church back in Massachusetts. So it just tells you, don't despise small beginnings. And that worship team is called Jehovah Nisi. So it's pretty cool because I know that the Lord is our banner. So we would actually travel to different ministries and worship through dance. But I learned really young how dance has a power. Just like our words have the power of life and death. I'm not sure if you've heard of the story of Herod's daughter, how she asked for John the Baptist's head, right? And she actually requested dance and all that, but that was for death. But we can have dancing for life as we worship God, as we do it with knowledge, as we do it with awareness. So having that in mind, anything that we do, whether through tambourine, flags, there's meanings in everything. So we are very intentional about teaching the foundation and the meanings to things because we believe that there's power in everything that we do. And if we're aware of what we're doing, that we can exercise that and be empowered to shine our light and be a blessing to ourselves and others. So all of that to say, from 10 to 17, I was worshiping through dance, and that helped grow my confidence. And so even the vision for this mariposa is, mariposa signifies butterfly, and you know the butterfly starts as a caterpillar, and a caterpillar goes through the chrysalis stage. It's in the chrysalis, which is not a cocoon. It's actually a moth is in a cocoon, but a butterfly is in a chrysalis, and then it transforms into a butterfly and it flies. And so the goal is that we just help plant the seed. We just help encourage through the gifts and the knowledge that we have consistently into the lives of these children so that they can flourish and just fly, let their wings fly and just fly into what God gave them with confidence. Because when we know what we're called to do, then we can do it confidently. And we're just going to be empowering and watering this fertile ground, which is the next generation, because we want to see them raise, we want to see them worshiping through their hands, through their feet, through their voice, through their instruments, through whatever method it is, we want to see that. And then also, we have scholarships available for those of you who are not able to pay the full amount, or we will have an application up so that way we can determine how much of a scholarship you need. It'll be pretty much a sliding fee. We have either 50%, or we can determine what the scholarship you need is. But the goal is to raise funds also so that way we can cover each other because we don't want anybody left behind. If you have a desire to do this, we want to include you also.
Awesome.
Quick little story. There was an amazing mission trip that I wanted to go on, and I decided that I didn't have faith for it, so I opted out. And it turns out somebody sold their car and donated for everybody to go on the mission trip. But because I wasn't in that room, I didn't get to go. So it was devastating. I learned a big lesson. So just be in the room, just show up. And we're also looking, if God puts in your heart, hey, I want to sponsor a kid with this amount, whatever. Or an adult, I want to sponsor somebody. That money, we don't want to turn anybody away. We want the kids to get in here, and we want them to learn.
Awesome. All right, thank you, guys. Give my big round of applause. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you all. Now I have 15 minutes to do my message, but I got it. All right, so if you could just bow your heads, we're going to pray for our message today. Lord, we thank you for, as we're focusing our children in parenting this month, we thank you, Lord, for giving us wisdom and grace, hearing ears. Lord, we pray for Mariposa, and we pray for our children, and thank you, Lord, for good things that you have in store for every one of us. We give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, you know, the title of this message, like just like I said, mentioned that illusion of perfections. We all have this illusion that we want to be perfect. Everybody want to be perfect, but we know when you live longer enough, then you recognize that perfection is a sort of illusion. You know, Adam and Eve were great parents until the children killing each other, right? And we all know that Noah had only three sons, and he thought he was a great parent. And we saw the drama that evolved in Noah's family that we can all witness in so many ways. That even Moses had the Ten Commandments from God, and that should make everybody perfect, right? But Israelites went through drama after drama, failure after failure, mistakes after mistakes. It's just unbelievable. What about prodigal son? The parents could be a perfect parents, but the sons turn out to be a bozo sometimes, right? We can see all that throughout the scripture. So, you know, Mary and Joseph were great parents. I mean, they're great parents. Guess what? They lost Jesus for 3 days. Can you imagine losing your children in 3 days in the city of San Antonio? You would go crazy. I would go crazy. I have an 8-year-old daughter. If I don't see her like 10 minutes in a room, man, my heart is racing. Like, where is she? Where is she? Where is he? You know, so Jesus was lost for 3 days. Mary and Joseph were like, man, I don't know what to do, right? So just to give you guys understanding that there is no perfect parent. And it's okay to recognize that. You're never going to be perfect. I'm not going to be perfect. But God gives us, you know, a principle and ideas and lessons to learn to do God kind of parenting so that end of the day, God gets the glory. So I don't want you to feel guilty about when I'm sharing certain things here today. I don't want you to feel like, man, I could have been better. I want you to be better. But I don't want you to feel like, man, I'm a bad parent. I lost it. Or looking at your parents and say, man, my parents are so lost it. Don't blame them. Don't judge them. Let's just look at and take it with a grain of salt and apply some principles so that we can become a better parent. So my thesis for today's message, and hopefully the rest of the messages that I would like to present to you, is Jesus frees parents from performing perfection. You know, because we can perform perfection. How many likes to show a Facebook page, you know, your picture is a perfect picture? Pastor Mike last week showed his picture, and then the family picture, right before the family picture, there was chaos everywhere, right? You know, how many can witness that? There's a couple, they took a beautiful picture, we're spending in a Lamborghini for a lot of money, and then the pictures came out so gorgeous, but right after the pictures, they went through divorce. And how do you interpret those scriptures, those pictures? Right? So it's just the way, it's an illusion that we all struggle with it. But Jesus is the only one can free us from performing, you know, a perfection so that we can lead our families, watch this, from grace, not anxiety. Because anxiety could rest on us that whatever that you might be seeing, and you could be stressing out yourself. As a parent, we should not be stressing out. Children are supposed to be joyful to us. We could not be stressing out. And I know, you know, starting tomorrow or Tuesday, your schedule's going to change. You got to get up in the morning. You got to get their, you know, uniforms ready, school's stuff ready. My wife and I were already thinking about, you know, we're going to put Lily to bed in so-and-so time so she can get up. She's in a good mood. So if she's in a good mood, everybody's in a good mood. You know, sometimes I'm a time kind of guy, right? I don't like to waste time. That's one thing I've learned. I don't like two things to waste. My daughter knows that. Time and money, I don't waste them because they're very valuable to me. I had to work hard for those things. So especially time, God's gift, you know, if you spent it, you're not going to manufacture that, right? Money, maybe you can manufacture it, but time, it's gone. So I'm the one rushing in the morning. My wife says, calm down. It's going to be okay. I don't want her to go to late. I don't want to have a lot of time. I want my daughter to be perfectly all the time. And guess what? Last year she had a lot of parties, you know. But I stressed out. I was like, I was freaking out. And sometimes I wake up like 5 o'clock in the morning. Are we ready to go yet? And sometimes it's crazy. But that's how we do for our children. But I want you all to, you know, receive this so we can rest in peace, trust God in the process, so that God can you know, help us. So the one thing I've learned was the gospel speaks so powerfully into parenting. And if there's anything that you need to know about gospel, that's parenting is a part of a gospel journey. It's a disciple's journey. You're discipling your children into next, you know, phase of their journey. You don't want them to succeed the way you succeeded. You want them to go beyond yourself, even in godliness, in spiritualness. You know, it helps us for us to go further in the kingdom of God. You know, gospel actually does not call us to become a flawless, you know, managers or faithful disciples, but gospel shapes us in a graceful way so that we can become that parent that God is calling us. So these are my three points that I want to share. Hopefully that will be helpful for us. Number one is the pressure to look perfect is a spiritual bondage. The pressure that Christian people feel, this, by the way, the pressure to look perfect is spiritual bondage. How many times we boast about our children to the other parents? You know, we try to make them look like so good at, you know, in front of other people. And I get it. We all try to be the parents that we cheer them up, we become their cheerleaders, but sometimes if we don't pay attention to little things that God is dealing with your heart, and your pressure of to make your family look good could create a spiritual bondage. Philippians 3, 12 to 14 helps us to understand something so beautiful. It says, Paul writes to Philippians church, and he says, not that I have already obtained all this or have arrived already at my goal, watch this, but I press on to take a hold of which is Christ Jesus took a hold of me. And he goes on to say, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, which is what I want to encourage us to do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I pressed on towards the goal to win prize for which God has called me to heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know, when Paul uses the language Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus, you know, we get confused, but sometimes Paul says, whenever he calls it Jesus Christ, he's talking about person who is going to the cross and die for humanity. But whenever Paul uses Christ Jesus, he's talking about person who is already glorified and seated in heavenly places and in on a right hand of the Father. So Paul is telling, and Paul knew everything about godliness. And if you know about Paul, Paul went to great theological studies, better than Harvard, better than Yale, better than all these great universities. Back in the days, you know, Paul studied under a great rabbi, great wisdom and great tenacity and great writer, great thinker. But yet he says something about himself. It's a great attitude for us to learn. He says, not that I have already obtained all this. And I'm not perfect. He's saying, I will never be perfect. I'm okay with that. I want to be okay with that. So as a parent, we need to settle into this one that I am not going to be the perfect parent, because that anxiety will kill you. That anxiety will raise blood pressure on you. And then you start worried about your children, worried about yourself, and you beat yourself down as well. So you wanted to become an imperfect parent so that God can become perfect in your place. Can somebody give the Lord a round of applause for that? So we invite God into our parents. I tell myself, I'm not the greatest parent, Lord. Without you, I cannot be a parent, Lord. With your help, you coming back into my life, you being the father of my heart, you being the teacher of my heart, I can be the parent that my daughter could eventually, children can eventually follow you, Lord. And in King David even learned about this method. He says, you know, he talks about this, Psalms 127, verse 1 to 2. If you look at that carefully, he says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builder labor in vain. Can you believe that? Can we give the Lord a round of applause? That is so beautiful. I know it's not a famous scripture for a lot of us, but we got to put Jesus in the center of parenting. We got to put Jesus in the center of a conversation. When I discipline my daughter, my wife, we both look at first, you know, this is what Jesus would love for us to have. This is why I'm discipling you, or I'm disciplining you, so that tomorrow you can be a better thinker. tomorrow you can be a better follower of Christ. And I want her mind to be focused on the destiny. There is a destiny that she needs to go. Not just, you know, I know she's going to go to, you know, graduation and accomplish all the great things. But after that, she has to have somewhere to go. And I always tell her, like, your end destination, be in Christ. Christ is your voice. Jesus is your voice. Jesus is the one that's going to lead you and guide you. And we want to start that from here so that when they build their houses, they're going to invite Jesus into their houses so that God will build their houses and watch over them. Without God, we know we cannot accomplish what God has called us to accomplish. And Paul says that unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Dear parents, let's not labor in vain. We don't want to labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain, you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. And one thing we need to tell them every night, the Lord loves you. Jesus loves you, my son. Jesus loves you, my daughter. They should hear that. Whether you say, I love you, we say, I love you all the time, but they need to hear that. Jesus loves you no matter what you did, no matter what you go through. Jesus loves you. Jesus' love will never fail. My love will fail you, sweetheart, but Jesus' love will never fail. Can somebody give the Lord a round of applause? We gotta focus on that and help them so that they can move forward into a great place of destiny as well. And second point is, my iPad got frozen for a second. So grace destroys the need to manage everything. Grace destroys the need to manage everything. Because we need to manage a lot of things, but the grace is the one that's going to destroy a lot of things. And we know Paul was going through in a very pivotal moment of his life that he was struggling with the thorn in his flesh, and he was complaining, he was murmuring. Sometimes we do that in our hearts. We may not say it to everybody, but we secretly murmur and complain about our children, like, man, I wish my child would listen to me. I wish my child would go the right direction. I wish my child would do it. And that's okay. God understands that. God is not judging us. God is not judging. But one thing that you will hear if you come in the presence of God, if you come in the worship, when you hear God's word, one thing you hear from the Lord, in spite of your complaints, in spite of your murmuring, you'll hear these words, my grace is sufficient for you. Amen. That's what we want to hear. As a parent, end of the day, after I discipline my daughter, after I say whatever I say, I want to come back to God and so that I'm not feeling guilty about what I did, what I said, how I led. I want to make sure that, because the same grace that saved me, and I want that grace to come upon my life and my daughter, my children, my grandchildren, so the grace is sufficient for me, so that I'm not going to be stuck in my journey as a parent, but I'm going to allow the grace of God to cleanse me and purify me so that I can be a better available parent for my children. The opposite of the perfectionist is parenting that we don't walk in grace. We walk in the law mostly, and then we wonder why we feel ashamed or why we feel burdened or anxiety, because we're not allowing the grace of God to, you know, help us. And to say the perfection will say this, that if I can control enough variables, outcomes, I can secure outcome. And then we think about this, like, I'm going to teach them, I'm going to tell them, I'm going to make sure that they're going to go this way, they're going to listen to this, and which is okay. I'm not saying this is wrong, but sometimes our mind can become prideful if we're not careful about this grace. But grace says like this, I am not sovereign, but God is, and I'm just a steward to lead my children in the right direction by the grace of God. Can somebody give the Lord a round of applause? So grace is the one that we need for us to go forward. So Exodus reminds us, Exodus 14, verse 13 to 14. Moses answered the people. This is what he says. Do not be afraid, you know, when they were standing in front of, you know, this beautiful, majestic miracle. Do not be afraid. Stand firm that you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. And I love that, because sometimes we, as a parents, we have this nervousness, fear that we were raised by our parents in a certain way. And we thought, maybe am I bringing that parenting style? Or maybe your wife comes in a different background and your husband comes in a different background. And you bring those two parenting styles to, you know, nurture your children. And then your wife may agree with you sometimes, may disagree with you. Or husband may agree with you and disagree with you. And then we go through this kind of parenting turmoil. But we got to understand this. There's nothing we do will shape our children the way that God can shape our children. Because when God steps in, He will do a way better than my parenting or my grandparenting or whatever. So here is a best example. The children of Israel left the Egypt, and they were ready to get out of the Egypt. They were being thinking about 400 years that being stuck in the Egypt. And finally, when the opportunity came to get out, and guess what? The fear was knocking on their door. Why? Because they saw the armies were chasing them, and Pharaoh is right behind them. And the people that who encouraged, you know, the leader Moses that to become a powerful leader. And here Moses did not know what else to do, what else to say. There's sometimes in your parenting, you're going to come to a place where you don't know what else to say. Your grown teenager will say stuff and you're like, I don't know how to respond to that. And your grown teenager will say something. You're like, I don't know how to respond to that. That's okay. You may not have all the answers, but you got to be like Moses that I know I will hear the complaints. I know I will hear people saying stuff, but I'm going to take a stand still in the presence of God, wait for God to move on my family. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to articulate any negative things, but I'm going to stand still so that God's glory is going to come, because what He's about to do is bigger than my prayer. What He's about to do is bigger than my knowledge. What He's about to do is bigger than my parenting style. He's going to open the door when there seems no way open the door. God will open the door so that our family can go together and bond together even way better way than we can all, you know, bring our own wisdom and knowledge. So I pray that you will listen to this counsel and say, you know, one thing, I don't know how to talk to my grown children. I don't know how to talk to my teenager, but I want to take a stand in the Lord's way so that God can give a grace to my family and lead us. You know, sometimes when we parent, you know, we get a lot of, you know, ideologies that we pick up over the course of our time. And I call them lawnmower parenting. Lawnmower, I don't mow the lawn anymore. I used to do it. And we used to have a sprinkler systems like back in our lawn. And when I first, you know, started doing it, I didn't really pay attention to where the sprinklers are popping up. And I was just moving, putting my earphones on, just going to the town with that. And then I could hear I was like, what did I do? And I pulled back to see my whole sprinkler system went in the blades and ruined the whole thing. You know, so sometimes a lawnmower parenting is we just go like blinded, like we don't think through it. We're like, you know, one thing, you know, we want to clean every obstacle. My job is as a parent to clean up my children's life. Sometimes that sounds like, you know, it's good, but that's not going to help. We gotta slow down and study your children. Again, how many can witness each child is differently made by God? You can't just parent this child and that you use the same technique on this child. This child may be a differently response to this child. I know my daughter, how she responds to certain things, and I know other kids how they respond, and we need to understand that. We cannot be a lawnmower parent, but we need to step back and allow God to season our hearts so that we can become, you know, beautiful. Another parenting style that I studied was called a submarine parenting style, which means, you know, submarine parenting, you know, tries to control the internal atmosphere so nothing ever escapes. We try to kind of really dominate our families to control them, how they should go. Sometimes that can also kind of messes up. So both parenting styles forms fear. And this is how you're gonna measure. Like if your parenting style is producing fear, then you may have to challenge your status quo. You may have to step back and put the pencil to the paper and say, Am I doing right? Why there's a fear? Why there's a fear in my children? I mean, good thing to have a fear of the Lord, but if they're growing in fear, then we are really messing them up badly in their cognitive development. And most children are developed at the first to 7 years or 8 years. So whatever we do first to 7, 8 years is going to shape them rest of their journey. The ideas, the principles, the culture that they're going to see, and it's going to develop. And that's what they're going to believe in. So we want to take care of first to 7-8 years of a very careful, intentional investment so that they can become a better versions of God's children. Amen. So the third point, and then I'm going to close with the third point. Jesus confronts performing religion. And you might say, like, I'm not a religious person yet, but maybe your parenting style may be a religious parenting style. Jesus confronts that. And we know in Luke chapter 18, verse 10 to 14, it says, two men went up to the temple to pray, and one is the Pharisee, another one is a tax collector. Some of y'all guys know this story. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, and God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people. You know, sometimes when we're parenting, we have this secret mindset. I'm not like that kind of parent, and I'm going to be this. And you may not think through it out loud, but believe me, secretly, you're harboring these things, religious way of parenting. But the tax collector was sitting way back there beating himself. It's like, I'm not even worthy to stand, and I'm nobody, Lord. And Jesus actually, you know, tells at the end, I tell you that this man who felt that he's unqualified, who felt he's not the great parent, who felt that he's going to depend on God, only God's mercy is what he's longing for. God said, I'm going to justify that this person is more justified before God. The point is this, that you will fail as a parent. And that doesn't mean that you're a bad parent. Your parents have failed in your life. That doesn't mean they're bad parents. But when the humbleness comes in our hearts, we come like tax collector before the Lord. Lord, I used every tool that I know to use it. Now I don't know what else to do, Lord. I need your mercy on me, on my family, that I will do better as a parent. I will do a better as a provider, as a person that can nurture my child. I will do better. And that attitude is what God is looking for. The world will teach you otherwise. The world will tell you all kinds of things. But God says, no, when you come before him humbly and say, God, I don't have it all. I don't have it all. I'm not the greatest parent, but I'm going to trust you, God. You're going to help me, God. And God is going to lead you into supernatural ways. So the fourth one is honest parenting is a holy parenting. And this is something that I learned that through the word of God, through other things that I was honest parenting. Because sometimes we have to be honest to ourselves before we even be honest to our children. And one of the most healing things that I have experienced as a parent that you can do for your children. This is what I'm teaching my daughter to as well. It takes the time to teach. The most healing thing that you could embrace is the repentance. Repentance is the one of the most healing things. And as a parent, we need to ask regularly forgiveness to our children. I know we tell them what to do, we show them where to go, but even in the point of the same way that we need to come before them, hey, I'm sorry, I yelled at you, I'm sorry, I hurt your feeling, I'm sorry, I could have done better, I'm sorry, I left you longer. And my daughter one day was at the Athenaeum, and I was in a meeting here, important meeting, and doing it, and subconsciously me and my wife, we text who's going to pick up my daughter. And that particular day, I thought I texted my wife, but I did not. And my wife thought, I'm going to pick, you know, my daughter up. And I'm getting these calls from school. It's like, I wonder why they're calling me. So I picked that up. And the school will say, your daughter is waiting for you. I said, oh, my Lord, how did I forget? So I told the person, I'm so sorry. I got to close this meeting. We'll meet up next day, whatever. So I took off running, and I'm driving like, you know, a maniac on this Bendera Road. And when I got there, first thing I said, sweetheart, I'm so sorry. I let you down today. It won't happen again. I'm going to come back. I'm going to be mindful of you. And we always text, and my mother-in-law will check up on me. It's like, who's going to pick up today, Lily? That's it. I said, thank you, Mom. Mom will check up on too. So I think it's good for us to come to a place of realization when we make a mistake as a parent, and saying sorry to them will teach them a great principle of coming before the Lord as a servant and as a child. And Proverbs 28:13 reminds us, whoever conceals his transgression will not prosper. And that's the word of God. But he says, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. And that's what we want. We want our children to see that we are willing to forgive. We are willing to say sorry. We're willing to confess. We're willing to see God's way so that God can be so beautiful. And Ephesians 4:32 reminds us, and this is something that we all can embrace, that it says, be kind and compassionate to one another. Especially for our children. We gotta be kind to them. We gotta be compassionate. I know we all do that, but just to kind of encourage you, edify, you gotta be kind to them. Just as Christ forgave us, so we need to be kind to our children as well. So these are beautiful, beautiful ways to start our week as we are leading our children. Would you please give your children a big round of applause as we lift them up before the Lord today? Thank you guys, thank you guys. So these are three responses, and I'll close with a prayer. Response number one. Confess your control issues today. If you have a control issues, you're being traumatized, whatever that control issues could be, your religious views or your parenting views, or maybe you're bossing around. Just ask God, God, forgive me today, God. As we start this new week, I want to be a parent, that I want to be available. You know what I pray every day in my heart that I don't share my wife that much? I want my daughter to always come back and say, God, thank you for my dad. I want my daughter to always say that my dad was there no matter what in my life. I want that. Because our kids can, yes, come on, give the Lord a round of applause. I want that as a parent. I long for that. You know, so I want you to confess that. If there's anything that you're holding against your children, or you thought, you know, your children needs to go, or you thought you want to be perfect, or maybe you are just a, you know, kind of a Pharisee that you got it together, just ask God, the Lord, forgive me, God. I want to be a better person. Name one place where you can, you're treating your children's behavior like a report card or your worth. Sometimes we want to see our success in them, which is a good idea, but sometimes we use it as an evil way, and that's not a good idea. But if you look into your children and then you their behavior as a report card, and I want you to just say, God, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, I shouldn't do that, but now I'm gonna change myself, Lord, and practice the holy failure. This is so beautiful. Apologize quickly when you sin, when you make a mistake, and let your children see that what happens repentance sounds like. Even in front of them, your spouse and then one another, you should ask forgiveness to each other. So kids can see, and the parents are doing that. That means I gotta do that, you know, and that helps them to think about they're not the perfect people, they're not the perfect kids. And the third one is audit your anxiety today. Identify one situation where you keep stepping into remove all friction without giving to God. And I want you to surrender that to God today. Whatever that is in your heart, you love your children. I know you love your children. We all love our children. We all want to be best parents and perfect parents. I know that. But this world and this culture will steer us in the wrong direction if we don't pay attention to our heart. If we don't lead our heart in the right direction. So I want to give us, all of us, this opportunity to reflect on those three responses. And if you could respond back to God and say, God, I'm sorry. This week, I want to be a more peaceful parent this week, God. No matter how the kids are going to be kids. They're going to do, they're still growing. They have not arrived where you have right now. They're still growing. But you could just have empathy and kindness, compassion, and patience. And these are things we need right now. The traffic is going to be crazy starting tomorrow, and you need a peace in the middle of the traffic. And they're going to come back home tired and worn out, and they might throw tantrums. You got to be ready for tomorrow, because first day transitions are hard. First week transitions are hard. They might say, my daughter's already getting nervous, I don't want to go to school. But you got to sit down and nurture her. Nurture your kids so they can get excited about tomorrow. And this is a good way to start to, as a parent, start praying for your teachers today. My wife sent my daughter's teacher's picture the other day, and I started laying hands on that. I started praying. I said, God, I pray for my daughter's teacher, Lord, right now, that her heart will be peaceful. That, Lord, her household would be peaceful. You can pray for your school. When I drive by, drop off my daughter, I pray for the school. I pray the divine protection over the school, that my children will be raised in the fear of God, in the honor of God, in the culture of God. We can take that few seconds to pray for our children. I want to give permission to all of us to pray for our children for a few seconds. I know we did, but now I want you, as a parent, I want you to pray for your children. In these three areas, if you can. God, we're so thankful and grateful for giving us this opportunity, Lord, to lift up our kids, our grandkids, our little ones, God. They're the one vulnerable children, Lord. They can't speak. They can't help themselves. They can't speak up for themselves. But you put us as a good stewards, a good parents, God. And we're not perfect, we know. But help us to walk in grace. Help us to become a better disciples of our children, God. Help us to be more patient, God. Help us to be more kind and more compassionate this week, God. Help us to have the culture of repentance. A holy parenting is a culture of repentance that we pray over every child, every parent in this morning, God. We thank you. We thank you, God, for start off is beautifully joining us in this season of fall. God, we thank you, Lord. And I pray for, Lord, everyone that might be going through a critical season of a parenting. God, I pray, Lord, ease their parenting this time, God. If the parents are facing a lot of stress and anxiety, Lord, help them to understand, God. Lord, if the parents are, Lord, especially the parents that have been divorced and the kids are bouncing back to two different parents, God, I pray that, God, divine protection and divine grace and divine parenting, that, Lord, even though we don't know how to parent them, you will step in. Your word reminds us that you will teach our children. Thank you for, Lord, becoming a greatest teacher on the earth. And we thank you. We invite your presence into our children's life, God. I pray, Lord, for blended families, that God, that as they're raising up their children, Lord, I thank you for a spirit of unity between father and mother, a spirit of unity between parents, God, so that they can raise the children in the fear of God, in the repentance of God, in the gospel of God. Let the gospel become center of their hearts, God. We don't just do it to do it, but we put God in the center. We call Christ in the center. Let Jesus be glorified in our parenting, and we give you all the praise and honor. We thank you for your Holy Spirit presence upon every parent, Lord, and we give you that, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Come on, church, somebody make some noise for the Lord Jesus Christ to come and to manifest and minister to us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, why this message is important to us, I just want to remind us, if we chase perfection, you will either become exhausted or become fake. And I don't want you to become a fake parent. And I don't want you to become an exhausted parent. I want to pray that we will become a real parents. We will become a God-centered, Christ-centered, gospel-centered parents, that we can lead our children. God, we're so thankful, Lord. Your grace is resting upon every one of us, God. Every one of us, God. We give you the praise and honor, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As we're wrapping up today, if you're here, if you never met Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you never invited him into your parenting, if you never invited him into your family, I want to ask you to do that today with me. Invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your parenting lifestyle. Invite him to stand by you, to give you counsel and wisdom so that you can be a greatest parent for your children ever will have. So if you could just stand to your feet, we're going to pray prayer and we're going to worship the Lord. And we're going to have, you know, a quick chatter after that. You guys can walk around, talk, and grab a cup of coffee and go home. And those that are here, you know, we have another service tonight. A special guest is going to be here. I will be here. It's in a Telugu language, but I want to extend that invitation if you would like to be here tonight. God, we're so thankful, God. So if you're here, my friend, you never invited Jesus into your parenting, I want to invite you to pray with me and invite you to just accept Jesus to come into your life. A simple prayer will change the trajectory of our thinking towards honoring God. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Today, I confess all my sins. I ask you, Lord, to come into my heart and come into my parenting, God, as I parent my children. Help me, Lord, to lead our children in true repentance and true grace, God. I want to be a better parent, God, for my children. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your victory on me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. My friend, if you prayed that prayer, you're in the family of God. Come on, church, somebody give a big round of applause. Thank you so much for praying for that prayer. Thank you so much for being here today. And as we are wrapping up, if anybody needs a prayer, our prayer team will be here today. Elder Ross is traveling. He'll be here tomorrow. And tomorrow morning, I know you're going to be rushing to taking your kids to, you know, church, school. And you know, I want to encourage you to chime in tomorrow morning at 7 to 7:30 as we're going to pray this week for our children, our schools. We'd love for you to all to have. It's a Zoom call. You don't have to come in person. You just dial a church number in Zoom. You'll be in that prayer call, so we'll be praying for you guys as well. Pastor Cal is here. Let's give him a big round of applause, Pastor Cal, and his lovely wife, Alice. Thank you, Pastor Cal. If you need a prayer as a parent, if you need a prayer for your children, just make your way to just receive that prayer. Every time when there's a prayer offers, I just like prayer to be prayed over my children and call their names before God and watch what God would do. Father, we're so thankful and grateful this morning. And thank you, Lord, for doing beautiful things in our hearts, seasoning our hearts, God, for great things that are in store for us. And we bless you today. We honor you today. If you could just lift that hand before heaven, I want to speak a blessing over us. God, we're so thankful, God, thankful for your blessings. We bless you with the word of God. We bless you with the presence of Jesus Christ. We bless you with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We bless you with the kingdom of God. Remember that you're not a perfect parent, but you're a godly parent. You will lead your children in holiness, in repentance, in gospel center. Go home knowing that Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. He will go before you as a consuming fire. Make every impossible possible for you. If you believe Jesus is real, would you please make some noise? Let's bless the Lord as we worship the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Thank you for being part of our community. For more information, please go to cjclife.com. If God lays it in your heart to partner with us, please give and bring your first fruits to honor God so that we can continue to move the mission forward. Again, thank you and God bless.